Oh, oh.
I think it had... Yeah,
right. Keith, thinking young.
Yeah. But I think he said, last time I was here, I believe it got down to 30 below overnight. And I think, you know, I think I remember that. So if you think it's cold today, just think a couple years ago it got to 30 below.
And don't blame me.
Here representing Gideon's International, so I'd like to welcome him. So.
Great. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope I bring a warm effect to you today as we share a little bit about the Gideon ministry, and it is a blessing to come again. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but it's been probably 15 years ago that I came here for the first time, and I certainly appreciate my friend Mark inviting me and to share about what the Lord is doing throughout the world through the Gideon ministry. You know, I know there's tremendous amounts of ministries, and this church and your denomination has ministries throughout the world, but I want to share one with you that interacts with a lot of them throughout the world, and that's why we have Together We Go. Because this ministry is about working together. Our ministry, the local church, going throughout the world. And I hope that I'll be able to share that with you this morning. But the key verses that we as Gideons fall back on are out of Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And that's our word that we want to do. The responsibility of the Gideon's International is to go in the highways and the byways of this world and hand out God's word so that people throughout the world can come to a relationship with Jesus. That's very simply what we do, but how we do it is kind of complex when you're in 201 countries. There's a lot of different cultures and language and processes that have to do in getting God's word throughout the world, and I share that with you today. I want to show a short video, though, that really, in my mind, encompasses these three effects. So when it's done, try to see the three different avenues of what ties together we go together. So go ahead.
As I drove away, I was probably that typical teenager that many of you have stood before and placed a stipulations on what you can ask. And though I had been in a lot of dangerous situations by this stage in my life, I had never prayed. And I knelt and prayed for the first time in my life. And I said, God, if you're even real, if you can even hear me, I'm giving you 30 days to show me. Now, I knew the promise said that I had to seek and I had to knock. And so I tried to do everything that I thought you would do if you were seeking God. And I tried to quit doing bad things that supposedly sinners did. And I started going to church. I knew I couldn't claim I was seeking God and knocking if I wasn't going to church. The first 2 weeks, I didn't know where else to go but my hometown. And I went. It was so cold. I was a convicted criminal by the time, and people in my town knew who I was. But I'll never forget the fact that I was truly seeking God and how rejected I felt at that time. And I decided I'd go somewhere where nobody knew me. And the third week, I went to a church and sat through service. And at the end of service, there was an old lady in her 70s. Her name was Nadine Ledbetter. And she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Son, is this the first time you've ever been here?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And she said, "Would you come back?" She didn't say anything about my clothing. I had on what was indicative of gangster clothing, the baggiest jeans I could find, letters running down the side, and a football shirt on, and my hair down to my shoulders, and a tongue ring in, and an earring in. She said nothing about any of it. She just said, "Would you come back?" And I remember leaving and thinking, that was odd. Did she not see how I looked? The first person to ever invite me to church was this 72-year-old lady. And I thought, I want to go back. So I went back the next week and I saw a man preach with passion I had never seen before. I could, for the first time in my life, I could tell without any question, this man believes this. You cannot preach with that passion if you don't believe it. I wasn't ready to agree with him yet, but I was just moved by the fact I knew he believed this. And he walked by me when he was preaching, and the best way that I can describe what I saw in the twinkling of his eye was compassion and love and boldness and fire. And when I saw it, something moved in my soul, and I said to myself, "I don't know what that man has, but I want it." And at that moment, the first time in my life, I heard God speak. I had forgot that it had been nearly 4 weeks earlier when I told God that I wanted him to show himself to me in 30 days. I had forgot really why I was there. But at that moment when I said, "Whatever that man has, I want it," I heard God speak. And here's what he said. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, him who knocks, the door will be opened." And I knelt and I prayed, and I didn't know the sinner's prayer. All I could say was, "I'm sorry," and I said it over and over and over again. And I got up from that altar, a changed, born-again man who has never looked back, delivered immediately of drugs and alcohol. Since that time, God's called us into the full-time ministry. I pastor a church. We've seen many, many people who can stand and testify to the same life-changing power of Christ that I've experienced in our church. This evening, I want to leave you with this. My life is a product of someone putting the written word of God in my hand, an older lady showing me the love of God and inviting me back to church, and a preacher preaching the word of God in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that you're in an eternal business. just changing the world as we know it and not just reaching the world for the day, but changing time and eternity. I want to encourage you to never forget the power of God's word to work all by itself. In a moment in my life when I had no Christian parents and no Christian uncles or aunts and no Christian cousins and no Christian grandparents and no Christian influence whatsoever in my life and nowhere to turn, thank God the Son did his stood on a street and put this in my hand as I was driving by at 16 years old. The power of God's word and the power of God's love is enough to get the job done. It bridges all gaps in all ages. And tonight, on behalf of the multitude who will never have the opportunity to stand before you as I have and tell you their story, I say thank you. God bless you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. You are making a difference. And it is people like me that make it what you're doing fruitful, beneficial, and this ministry must go on. Thank you and God bless.
Okay, here's the test. What are the three parts? Gideons and other people handing out God's word. People in church inviting. And a pastor to bring the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't do this on our own. We're just one of the ministries, but we have an international impact. And I want to share a little bit about that with you now. 201 countries the Gideons go into and share God's word. 201 countries that are, can you call them Christian countries anymore? I don't know. Muslim countries, Hindu countries. It's just amazing what God has developed through this ministry. We began in 1899. Two men met each other, salesmen, and they decided they wanted to develop a friendship, and they did. And through a period of time, they came together meeting, and out of it came the Gideons. There wasn't any international back there. It was just the Gideons. And since that time, in 1899, we have progressed into these 201 countries. But one of the main focal points of the ministry happened in 1908. The Gideons met with a pastoral society in Iowa, went and talked to them about what they wanted to do. And so what came out of that meeting in 1908 was this, that the Gideons would take a Bible like this and put it on every hotel desk in the country, and the local church would pay for the cost of buying those Bibles. So for 110 years now, that was the beginning of the association of the Gideons in the local church. And that's how it's worked ever since then. Last year, almost $100 million was given to the Gideons International worldwide. But 70% of that has come from the churches in the United States. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed nation in finances and money and in desire to do God's work. But what's happening is you see every day in our country and in our state the turn against Christianity and the turn against God's way of doing things is changing. The largest distribution point throughout the world is a testament like this in schools throughout the world. 70% of the 84 million Bibles and testaments last year given out were in schools around the world. Go ahead. And this is what it looks like. This is a typical school that the Gideons themselves go into across the world. And the reason is this, is that in those schools in Africa, in Asia, in Eastern Europe, all over the world, they don't have the Bibles like we have the Bibles. Barna has said the average Christian has 6 to 7 Bibles in their house. Would you agree with that? You go into all of the African countries, Uganda and Chad and Eastern, all the Azerbaijani, former Soviet, they don't have the Bibles. In most cases, if the Gideons don't go, they don't get it. So when the time comes when they know that the distribution's coming, they're excited. And what happens is the Gideons will go, and the boxes of the testaments will be there, somehow have gotten there, and they load up these boxes, and they go however they can to all these schools. They open up the boxes, and the kids line up, and one by one, the Gideons hand out copies of God's word. But what the amazing thing is that only God could do is, in most cases, the schoolmaster, the headmaster, whoever says, why don't you explain to the kids what's in that little book they just got? And so the Gideons have the opportunity to share with it. One of the things unique about our testaments is that in the front, we have this section of helps. So if you wanted to go in here and find out about death or stress or insecurity, you could go here and it goes right, it will direct you as to what page that scripture is about. And then on the back page, in all of our testaments, we have basically the Romans Road, the plan of salvation, and the opportunity to accept Jesus by signing their name. And so that's what happens. And this is a friend of mine, Larry Nelson, who was in Colombia some years ago, and here he is explaining after they've all have received one, and this is why we do it. Those hands are up to accept Jesus as their Savior. And this happens time after time throughout the world. And that's why it's so important that we here in the United States continue to go into the churches to find the funds to supply these scriptures. That's... So... I don't apologize for the Lord working. So that's what happens. And that's why we come and say, hey, you know, how can you help out? But the interesting has happened, that here we live in this land of the free that everybody's trying to get into, and I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to go any roads. But here that we live in this country, and do you know what the least distribution point for us Gideons in the United States is? Where do you think? Schools absolutely are not getting in, other than down in the Bible Belt, Kentucky and Tennessee and Carolinas. They still have the ability, but in our area it just doesn't happen. So the Gideons' desire to continue giving out God's word has made a change. Now you have to realize that we're a 120-year-old organization that believes in how we do things and what we're doing and enforcing those ways, because you can't go into 201 countries and just be here, there, and everywhere. We have specific things that we do, and because we have to be able to relate to pastors and churches in Azerbaijan just like we do in Chad or Kuwait or Oman or any of the countries, how to be able to get into hotels to distribute God's word there and leave it. So we did something some years ago, and for the first time out of our realm of doing things, see, every Bible and Testament that is handed out is by a Gideon. We go into the hotels, and we put the Bibles in the hotels. When we're doing distributions, it's us as Gideons. Now, I know that upsets some people when they want to go to Mexico and they want me to give them Spanish Bibles for them to give away, but that's not how we do it. Every Bible we do is handed out one-on-one by the Gideons at no charge. We charge nobody for our Bibles. We just placed 150 Bibles in the new Celeron Harbor Hotel about a month and a half ago, and just last week we placed 146 in the new Doubletree downtown at no charge. We did it very graciously so that they'll open up, and they have opened it up to us, and that's just how we do things. So the Gideons realized that we're not getting Bibles to our kids in the schools. So we partnered with an organization called The Life Book, and this is a life book if you haven't seen it. And the idea is to that we would contact pastors who could get into schools and begin organizations so that the kids in the schools can hand out these. Totally legal. I can't go and do it, but a kid that wants to go into a school, by law, U.S. Constitution allowed, and done. So what happens in this area is we've partnered with Impact. Impact is an in-school youth program, and so they order these, and they're given away in the school. Totally legal. So, and this is the first time that we've gone outside of our way of doing things. We don't hand these out. We allow the kids to hand them out, and it's a blessing that we're able to do that. This Bible is the most recognizable, probably, of any of the Gideon that we do. Our intent is to put these into the hotels throughout the world and throughout the country and in the state. Like I mentioned, we're blessed that these two new hotels have allowed us in. We have some that are still resisting. We have one that we've been trying to get back into. We don't know why they won't let us in. They've just remodeled recently, too. And then hotels make choices as to how they want to do things, like the Hampton Inn will allow us in, but in the rooms that they just remodeled, there's no place to put a Bible. And if you've seen these new configuration of these rooms, it's just wild. There's no shelving or no drawers. And so let me tell you a story about the impact of a Bible like this. If I say the name Lowell Bud Paxton, does anybody remember that name? Back in the 70s, he used to own WKS in radio. And he built the facility up on top of the hill where WJTN and SC93 is. Well, he was quite a character. He was quite a salesman. And he didn't do too good in radio, so he ended up selling it and then moving on. And he went down to Florida, and he came up with this concept that I have found out later he originated in Jamestown. And he went down there and started this brand new business called, anybody heard of Home Shopping Network? Lowell Bud Paxton from Jamestown started Home Shopping Network. He was just brand new concept. You have to understand, there was nothing like it before. So he was just flying all over the country talking to suppliers that would sell him product that he could sell, and cable companies and everything. And he was flying all over the country, and obviously, it's still around. He did it very successful to begin with. He came home one night, a couple days before Christmas, back in the late 80s, and his wife said to him, she said, "I can't live here anymore. I'm gone. I'm leaving you." Well, he was kind of surprised. Well, see, he was successful in business, but he was a failure in his family as a husband and a parent. He was spending so much time flying and going, and whew. So she took her Christmas presents and left. But fortunately, the family already had a vacation planned in Las Vegas at one of the Hilton hotels, and Buddy Hackett was the speaker. And I was reminded a couple months ago that I should tell some people, like our younger generation, they say, "Who's Buddy Hackett?" Buddy Hackett is a comedian. I think he died here recently, but he was a big star. And so Lowell decided, because his children said, "Yeah, let's still get together and go." And so he went, and he sat there miserable. He probably didn't think or didn't laugh much during the time. But so about 2 o'clock, he went back to his room. And, you know, he knew he had really messed up his life. And sometimes it takes that in our life to get us to come to some serious thinking, just like Pastor did there. And he went searching, and he pulled out that drawer, which usually most of the Bibles that we put in are there. And he pulled it out and opened it up. Now, God in his wisdom knew Lowell Bud Paxton. And, you know, we might think, well, he went to John 3:16 or Romans or something. God knowing Lowell, he took him to Job 5. Have you been in Job 5 lately? It's probably been a while, maybe. Yeah. Well, the reason he took him there was that Lowell read there how God rescued Job from hardships and troubles. God related, took him to something that he could relate to, and then later he got into Romans 8. And that night in that Las Vegas hotel, Lo Bud Paxton accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But that's just a story of what God does as the Gideons partner with churches and go and put Bibles into the hands of the people that can get to them. I could stay here for another hour and share stories, but that's not what we're going to do. But just the other avenues that the Gideons do distribution points at. Since the early 50s, we've been on the bases of all of the military outlets throughout the country, and I'm not sure if anybody here ever had the opportunity to have one. They originally started in black. This is how they're done internationally. When we're allowed to do, they'll go and they'll put the Bibles in boxes and just hand out to the military. We've advanced now that from black to we are now digital camel in all four of the main department's colors. And if you've ever wondered, you know, Gideons have come over the years, you see a orange or a green one or camouflage. That only identifies to us where we put the distribution at. This is one that we give to medical support staff, nurses, so that they can fit in. Now we could almost put them in any color for nurses because they have all the different there. We do distributions. How do we do the schools now other than the life books? We do distributions on the sidewalks. And locally here, we rotate between Purcell, Washington, and Jefferson. And it's just by God's grace that every time we do, we're distributing over 200 of these little testaments to the kids as they come out of the schools in the hopes that they'll take them home like this man. And they may not get them then. This is a young man that got one outside of Washington I bring that up because his shirt is a rapper that's dead now. He got killed, Tupac, and just the contrast of the what's in his hand versus the lifestyle and the way that Tupac lived his life for that. This is one of the distributions that we do also in New York State is in New York City. And for a period of about 10 to 14 days, we try to get out street distributions and nursing homes and hospitals and prisons. And this was a woman that told the person that took this picture that she got that 20 years ago. And she still has it and uses it. And they gave her another newer one, too, for her to have. And just another distribution point of where the Gideons go, okay? And this is how things are done internationally and locally. But the Gideons, they have the Bible shipped in. This is when Larry was down in Columbia, and this is outside of a college. If they're not allowed in the school, they'll just take the Bibles and get them out of the boxes, and as people go by, hand it to them. We don't push anything on anybody. We ask them if they'd like a free Bible, and if not, we're not confrontational. It's not how we believe in doing things. Okay. Well, this is the way we do it, and this is why we do it, so that men and women, boys and girls throughout the world will read God's Word, be inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether they're just reading it or whether they're in a church, hearing a pastor, or whatever it is, that they'll read that and sign their name to have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Would ask that you pray for us. Obviously, like any ministry that works throughout the world, that the things have changed and the spiritual battle that's going on is just unbelievable for safety for the men as they go throughout the world to share God's Word and hand out God's Word, that the finances will be there for us to be able to buy the Bibles and ship them throughout the world. Pastor Mark mentioned that an offering is going to be taken. If you didn't this morning come prepared to do that, in your insert is more information about the Gideons in here. And there's different ways of giving. You could send a check through here. You can do it by credit card. You can do it with a QR code. You take a picture of it with your smartphone in it. You can do all that. But we just thank you for always for the opportunity to come and share this ministry and to tie it in with the local church and what the Lord is working as we all work together for him. Thank you.
We always like to pray for our guests.
Oh, good.
So, and of course, for your work in the Gideons as well. So let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you for Mark's willingness to come share your word and share your work with everyone here. We continue to pray a blessing over Gideons International.
Thank you.
Making a way for them to distribute your word in the schools and in the military, in prisons, wherever, in hotels, wherever it may be. Father,
yes.
God. Father, we pray for the Gideons locally here, that you continue to make a way for them to be in those hotels, to find creative ways to be in the schools.
Yes.
And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I can certainly say firsthand, many of you know Randy Wiltsey. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He lives right here in Frewsburg. And I know during the Frewsburg baccalaureate, he was there out in the lobby area from the auditorium and grinning ear to ear. As we were leaving, you know, the auditorium after the religious service, the baccalaureate, one of the few schools that still has that, he was grinning ear to ear, saying he was gave away dozens of Gideon's Bibles that evening. And I think all the senior class got one, and of course anyone who attended that service were taking them as well. So you still are finding ways.
Yes, we are.
Being certainly in the schools. But thank you for that. And shall we do our closing song? I mean, might as well.
All right.
We talked about God's word and what we believe. And I think often we as a church don't necessarily come together and proclaim creeds or confessions of, I confess this is what I believe. But I think the Newsboys have written a song that allow us to do just that. And we thought, you know, it would be appropriate.